You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. It's football time in the Bluegrass. You're listening to the KSR Football Podcast.
Well, folks, by now you heard that I botched up this week pretty badly. So here's the thing. I'm one of those people that an apology means nothing unless there's some substance to it. So to make up for the technical difficulties earlier in the week, now I have another little nugget for you. Spoke to Jacob Hester. You remember him. He lost to Kentucky about 14 years ago. The last time LSU played, they were the number one team in America. Kentucky upset Hester and the Tigers before they went on to win the national championship game. Now he's coming back to Lexington. He's running it back. And before he returns to town, he spoke about that 2007 matchup and previewed this Saturday's game between the Cats and the Tigers. So, hey, let's take it away for a nice little conversation with former LSU running back Jacob Hester. I hope this makes up for Monday. Please forgive me. Trust me, this will be worth it. Now happy to be joined by Jacob Hester, the former LSU Tiger running back. You can hear him on Sirius XM on the SEC channel. You can hear him on radio stations throughout this great state of Louisiana and pregaming the SEC with Chris Doran. Jacob, thanks for joining me today to talk about this big upcoming game Saturday night in Lexington.
No, absolutely. As I was telling you before we hopped on here, man, I'm a big fan of what Kentucky's been able to do the last couple of years. And so I have been a big fan of Mark Stoops, the administration, the whole deal. So I know they're playing my school this week, so maybe I can't be as big of a Kentucky fan as I normally am, but I appreciate and respect what they've done.
Well, it's when you're undefeated, this doesn't happen very often. I think it's only the fourth time Kentucky's been 5-0. They just beat a number 10 ranked Florida team, and now LSU's coming to town. And this, you know, Joe Burrow's not walking through that door. I know fans here are still chomping at that bit to beat a brand name, but things are going. It looks bad from the outside. You're closer to it. Are things as bad as they seem down there in Baton Rouge, Jacob?
Yeah, so look, we know the expectations of LSU, right? It's like really championship or bust mentality, because in the last 20 years, outside of Alabama, LSU has won the most national titles, right? So that is the mentality at LSU. They want to win SEC championships. They want to win national championships. And right now they're 3-2. And we know that's not the expectation level of an LSU. And then last year you finished 5-5. And so you got to see more wins. And it hasn't been bad football. Like when you go and you watch the tape, there's a lot of good. But their inability to run the football is so glaring on the tape, and that's really been what's held them back this year. If they're able to run the football, maybe not in the first game. UCLA had a really good game plan. I think you saw two new coordinators try to adapt to the game, and you could tell, like, you know, Chip Kelly took advantage of things that LSU did defensively and on the other side as well. But in this Auburn game, Like, if you got in your 4-minute offense and you took some of that clock away, I think you're talking about a different ball game, right? You were up 19 to 10. You were up 13 to nothing. Two different times you had double-digit leads, but you were so pass happy because you have to be. You weren't able to get a victory there. That's a game LSU absolutely needed to win because they had it within their grasp, and they really dictated the pace for a majority of the game. They just weren't able to close it out. So, yeah, look, we know what the expectation level is here in Baton Rouge, and they haven't met that just yet. So I wouldn't say it's like as bad as it looks, like the football portion of it, but also nobody wants to talk about moral victories and almost and maybes and shoulda, couldas here in Baton Rouge. So you got to go out there and you got to win games.
That loss to Auburn at home, it kind of felt like how Tennessee fans felt whenever Kentucky won at Neyland Stadium last year, or how Florida fans feel now, where it's just, you can't lose that game because it's a team you should beat. And I feel like that would almost be the same with fan bases don't like losing to Kentucky in the SEC. What does LSU have to do well in this game to be able to go and win on the road? I believe in their first road game of the SEC play so far this year.
Well, they got to win in Starkville, but kind of the same thing that I talked about with the Auburn game. That game was 28-10, and it ended up 28-25. The defense for LSU is actually playing really well. Outside of a second half in Pasadena, this is a defense that's played well. But as you know, when you're playing that style of defense and you're getting the other team off the field, if your offense doesn't throw that haymaker that knocks the other team out, and that offense for the other team gets more opportunities and you're on the field for, let's say, like 88 plays like you were against Mississippi State, well, yeah, eventually they're going to have success. The defense is waiting on the offense to give them a little help here, and you've got to have that this week. When you look at the matchup, LSU has not been able to run the football on anybody. I'm talking McNeese State, Central Michigan, anybody they've played. And with the front seven that Kentucky has, I don't see them having success if they do what they've done in the past. They've got to do something different. They have not had success running inside or outside zone. They've had some success running some gap schemes like counters. They've been okay in your pin and pull system, but they've got to find something. I don't know if it's a jet sweep. I don't know if it's getting in pistol and running stretch. Something we haven't seen. Because I've seen enough tape now to know that what they've been doing can't be effective against a good front seven like Kentucky has. So that, to me, is going to be the matchup of the game. Kentucky's going to be able to run the football, but to how much success? So that's something to watch for. But it's not as big of a matchup for can LSU run the ball enough. They don't have to be world beaters, but they have to commit to the run. They only had 13 rushes by running backs last week against Auburn. That number's got to go up because you have to at least have the threat. There's a lot of times that Auburn dropped 8 guys, even dropped 9 at different times, and only rushed 2 guys, saying, I dare you to run it, and LSU didn't take them up on it.
Wow. One final question about this game. Who's the scariest, through the Tigers' eyes, who's Kentucky's scariest player, the one you're like, that's the guy we got to worry about. We got to contain. I know for Kentucky fans, it's all about Boutte. If you can, you can't take Kayshon Boutte out of the game, but you got to limit him and try to limit his big plays. Who's that for LSU?
Man, there's a lot of candidates. I think Wandale Robinson is certainly one of those guys. I think he's just so scary because he can make a play and hit a home run so fast, and they're going to line him up in so many different spots. And maybe I'm biased in my answer, but I think the overall guy's got to be Chris Rodriguez. I can't watch him run the football and not appreciate what he does. You don't have to look for 24. Like, he'll find you, and I love that. I know he's had some fumbling issues, and they've got to get that fixed. That's not something that you want to see from your power back. But it doesn't have to be blocked perfectly for him to have success, because he will run through you, over you, around you, past you, all those type of things. You can't let him go off in this game, right? If he starts to gain momentum, what does that do? Well, it opens up everything else. Then Wandale Robinson will have that big play that he's capable of having. Then Will Levis will have more room in the play action game to make that big connection. And I know Wandale Robinson has gotten like really a bulk of Levis's yards. Like, when you look at it, like 200 yards per game, and Wandale's like got 100 of them. But look, if it's set up by play action, that can be effective. Like, you don't have to worry about spreading the ball out because it's so open, because you're so terrified that Kentucky's going to be able to run the ball. We ain't even talked about Kavassier smoke. And so yeah, that's the guy. You can't allow Rodriguez, in my opinion, to get going. And there's a couple of names on defense, certainly Square, I think, is one of the better linebackers in the conference as well. Like, you don't want to get that guy going as well. But I think we could throw Kennard and Rosenthal, offensive line. I mean, there's just so many matchups in this game that I think Kentucky is going to try to take advantage of.
Happy to have Jacob Hester joining us. You know, no Burns or Stingley either, but enough about this week's game. I know a lot of Kentucky fans, that we got to talk about 2007. One of the biggest wins ever.
Absolutely.
When I mentioned that, when you just hear that Kentucky 2007, what is the first thing that comes to mind for you?
I definitely remember like every aspect of the game. I remember it being great weather. I remember being a great atmosphere. Certainly remember the fans stormed the field, but it was a situation where they were like really genuine and nice about it. Like, okay, if you play at a place like Florida, like they're cussing at you, they're throwing oranges at you. I mean, it's just like a violent environment there. But like Lexington fans, when they rushed the field, they were like, man, hey, man, great game. Love the way you play. This is a big win for us. And it's almost like, yeah, I understand why you're storming this field. It's a big win for your program. You got to give credit to everybody that was involved in that contest for Kentucky. There was multiple times that it looked like we were going to pull away. And some of my former pro teammates, Jacob Tammy, Wesley Woodyard, they didn't allow it to happen. Andre Woodson was really good. Dickie Lyons was good that day. Little at running back. I mean, that was a very good Kentucky football team. And I do give them a lot of credit for staying in that game. Like I mentioned, multiple times they could have, you know, allowed us to kind of pull away from them, and they didn't. It's definitely one of the games I just have a bad taste in my mouth, too, because I got an injury on third down, and it was fourth and one. And that was a situation I felt very comfortable in, fourth and one, and I wasn't able to go out there on the field. I wanted to. Coach Miles thought, you know, Charles Scott gave us a better opportunity. He probably did. He was fully healthy. And, you know, it was a nice play. When you look at it, I forget the linebacker's name, but he was right there, stopped Charles.
Braxton Kelly.
And it was and it was a really nice play by him. And then madness ensued, right? Mm-hmm. And we were coming off a big win against Florida the week before, the height of Tebow time, the whole deal. So, you know, it's kind of funny. Like right now you look at this, and I know it's not exactly the same situation, but a lot of people probably in your neck of the woods asking, is this going to be a trap game for Kentucky with LSU coming into town? How about that, right? Because you're coming off the big win against Florida. Mm-hmm. You've got the big game against Georgia next week, and LSU comes in unranked. And so, yeah, here we are 14 years later, and the scripts might be flipped a little bit. But
especially from the comeback aspect, because you all had the big comeback at Florida, and it was similar in this situation where Kentucky's down 13 and – makes the big plays in the fourth quarter. You mentioned Dickie Lyons. Is Craig Stelter, is he okay? He is okay.
Craig was an All-American that year and had a seven-year pro career. So my man got one time. And, it definitely was a hit, the Dickie, I'm sure. I think Dickie's from New Orleans.
His dad played for the Saints. So, yeah.
He probably been thinking about that when Craig Stelch is a New Orleans legend in high school football as well. So, I'm sure Dickie appreciated the moment that he had there against Craig.
That 2007 season, too, just in general. I mean, I saw somebody today tweeting about, like, they got to make a 30 for 30 on it. And there's a lot of comparisons from this season to that 2007 season. Did you think when that loss to Arkansas late in the season, did you all think that, okay, well, you know, our dreams of a championship, that they're done now? How did you keep playing through, you know, to get to that point, to play through the madness, I guess you could say?
Oh, no, I'd be a liar if I told you after we lost another triple overtime game. I don't know what it was. That was our kryptonite that year, both losses in triple overtime. When we left that field, we didn't think there was a chance we could get back into the Natty. Now, that's not to say that we didn't still have aspirations to win the SEC because at that time, especially because it wasn't a playoff, if you didn't win a Natty, you had to win an SEC title. Like the SEC title is like your first goal, and it leads to a national championship appearance, at least, you know, in most years. So we were still motivated to play that game, and we lost our quarterback, Matt Flynn, in that Arkansas game. So we were playing with a backup. So you know, we were still fired up to play in the SEC, but yeah, we definitely thought that we were knocked out of a national title because A, B, C, D, E, and F all had to happen for us to get back into it. Well, you know, lo and behold, they happened, but we also had to win. Like, we had to go beat Tennessee with a backup quarterback and take, you know, care of our own part of that. And thank God for LaShawn McCoy and Shady definitely helped us out there, Pitt beating West Virginia, because that's one that I don't think any of us had. Like, Oklahoma beating Mizzou, like, okay, Oklahoma, we know their program. That one wasn't as shocking, even though Missouri was the favorite there. But, yeah, Shady McCoy beating West Virginia was not the one we had.
Pat McAfee pulling a chip shot, you know. I mean, a lot of crazy stuff had to happen that year. There's going to be more crazy stuff that happens this year. I also got to thank you for beating Ohio State. 16-year-old Nick rubbed it in his teacher's face, and I thought there was going to be a child abuse case. Kentucky's better than Ohio State. They beat OSU, and you couldn't beat them. So thank you very much for that. Thanks for joining me. I do have one final question before we go.
By the way, to that point, though, real quick about, you know, Kentucky being better than Ohio State. So I'm going to Lexington this week, and I travel to all the LSU games and cover the team. My former NFL teammate, like I mentioned, Jacob Tamey, is going to be at the game, and he would mess with me all the time in the Denver locker room. Hey, you're going to bring my national championship ring so I can take a picture with it? Like, that was always his joke. I'm bringing the 07 ring, and Tamey and I are finally taking that picture on the sidelines there in Kroger Field.
Nice. Oh, man, that's fantastic. Love to hear it. Oh, man, it all comes full circle. But how do you see this game playing out Saturday night?
It's a very intriguing matchup because the two teams just don't play one, right?
Right,
I mean,
right.
The last time LSU's been to Lexington was that game that we're talking about, 2007. LSU did a really nice job of stopping the run against Auburn last week. Tank Bigsby and Hunter, both very talented backs, and LSU held Auburn under 100 yards rushing. I think you have to commit to that if you're LSU. You have to make Will Levis be the reason that you lose the game and not Rodriguez and Smoke or Robinson, however they, you know, design some play calls. Certainly Wandale can do both. So I think you have to do that. If LSU doesn't commit to the run, and then I think Kentucky's going to take care of business. LSU has to, in my opinion, play true freshman Corey Kiner. He's out of Cincinnati, Ohio, so closer to Kentucky than LSU. And LSU was able to go up and get him Mr. Football in the state of Ohio last year. Right now, LSU, like last week, for instance, they were negative 6 yards before contact in the running game, which is just a bad stat. They've only had one game this year where they've had over a yard before contact. This offensive line is not giving the running backs any running room. But so when you look at that, like, I wasn't the guy that would excel with that. I read my keys. I needed to see how it was blocked up, and I was going to go off that block. Corey Kiner can create on his own. Jump move, spin move, stiff arm. He has to be the guy to create that running game because you're just not getting the push up front for any other back, I think, that's on this roster right now. So those are the things that I'm paying attention to. If I'm trying to find a path for LSU to be victorious here, they've got to run the ball. They've got to stack the box, make Will Levis beat them down the field. And certainly, obviously, Kentucky's going to try to be who they are. And I love the brand of football that they play. So it's an intriguing matchup that we just don't know a lot about because these two teams just never play each other. But I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's old school SEC football. Whoever runs the ball for more, you know, even though Max Johnson can sling it around, stopping the run, running the ball. Hey, that's how Mark Stoops likes to play. But Jacob.
Oh, without, I want to say this about Mark Stoops. And I know you kind of, you talked about, you know, the podcast I do with Doring. And Doring and I have kind of been on the Kentucky bandwagon for really the last couple of years, not just this year, but I mean it. Like, from in my heart of hearts, I want to give a shout out to Kentucky football and the administration at Kentucky, Mitch Barnhart, for trusting in Mark Stoops. They allowed him to have time to figure out what mold he wanted to put this football program in, and they have done so. And now you see all the bowl games they've won in a row. You see them beating Florida two out of the last 4 years when they hadn't beat them in 30 past years or whatever that number was. First time they beat them at home since I was 1 year old. The administration deserves a lot of credit for that patience. Mark Stoops deserves a lot of credit because he built it in his own mold. He doesn't worry about, you know, trying to keep up with the Joneses in recruiting the same territories that every other SEC school does. He's like, I'm going to go to Ohio. I'm going to go to Michigan. I'm going to build it the way I envision this program. And I love the way that they built it. I think they've done a hell of a job creating a culture around that football program and gaining some confidence in that football program that you can really build off of. I think you're seeing that growth this year. I know they've got some tough contests still left on their schedule, but imagine if Kentucky goes 10-2. Yeah. Like what that can do for your program moving forward. Some of the doors that you couldn't get in before, now those doors open in recruiting, and I love the way that the program's built right now. I think the future is extremely bright there in Big Blue Nation.
Man, 10-2, that gets you to a Sugar Bowl probably. And I
it does.
I'd love to spend New Year's Day in New Orleans. Nothing I'd want more. but like you said, Kentucky's playing a brand of football that we never thought could happen and have success in the SEC. So we'll see if it can translate into a 6-0 start Saturday night, 7:30 at Kroger Field. Jacob Hester, thank you so much for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I am a big fan of Kentucky, but I don't love that 6-0 start. 5-1 sounds good to me. They can go 10-2 after that. They go 10-2 after a 5-1 start. Ooh. I need my Tigers to get back on track and be 4-2 after they leave Lexington. But like I said, I'm looking forward to the game, going to see old friends, going to be at a place I haven't been to in 14 years, and I think we're going to get a hell of a ball game as well.
It's going to be a great time. Enjoy Lexington, Jacob. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, anytime.
The peep, the technique. Sweat the technique. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Ch-ch-chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.